His grace. Can I get agreement? Well, are you ready for preaching? All right, here we go. Last week I preached, it was Mother's Day. I hope all of you ladies had a great Mother's Day. And good. And the series was entitled, Behold and Honor. Behold and Honor. And I only got a third of the way through my message and realized that there's no way I was going to fit everything in. I thought this week that I had it easy, but the Holy Spirit did what He often does, and He started to talk to me about the message. And so He tweaked it somewhat, and it's going to go from where we left off, but God has also added extra things. I think I was talking to Pastor Carlos last night, and he has the weekend off, and I was talking to him last night. He says, so you're good with your message? I said, no, I'm still working on it. And he started laughing. He said, I had a talk with Tony last week. Pastor Carlos said to Tony last week, well, you got no problems. You're going to have the notes early because he's just going to continue the message. Well, Tony knows me well enough. He said to Pastor Carlos, yeah, I don't think so. Sorry, Tony, but I am a man in authority and under authority. Praise God. This morning, my sermon title is called Building the Culture of the Kingdom of God. Building the Culture of the Kingdom of God. You've all heard the expression culture wars. We are experiencing culture wars. It is like a cultural revolution. A culture war is where one set of belief systems and ideologies are fighting to be heard over and above another set of ideologies and philosophies. And we're living in a time that is very complex and filled with turmoil because literally the American panorama is filled with one cultural war after another. Now, having said that, I want to say that there is a cultural war in the heavens. There is a cultural war in the heavens. The kingdom of darkness has a culture. The kingdom of God has a culture. Your immediate family has a culture. Your nationality has a culture. Your heritage has a culture. America has a culture. The North has one culture. The South has another. The West has another. Midwestern America has another culture again. And yet, as Americans, we have an umbrella that encompasses many of those cultures. But there is a culture in the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus very clearly said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Jesus was referring to the fact that the kingdom of darkness rules the minds of men and women on earth. The kingdom of God is not ruling America. The kingdom of God is not ruling the nations of the world. The kingdom of darkness is. But everybody who is born again, everyone who asks Jesus Christ into their heart, is taken out from under the influence of the kingdom of darkness, and we are living right now in an invisible kingdom. It is here, it is now, it is alive, and it is powerful, and it is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Can I get an agreement? Absolutely. This is why we see miracles, because we believe in that kingdom, we believe in the king of that kingdom, and we believe he has power to reverse the laws of this realm and do supernatural things. That's why we see so many miracles. We give God the honor and the respect of believing in who he is and believing he can do what he says he can do. Amen. Building the culture of the kingdom of God. Last week for Mother's Day, I shared a verse from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and I'm just going to repeat it and springboard from there this morning. honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Honor. Honor your father and your mother. This is such an important concept in God's kingdom. To honor means, in the Greek, timeo, to assign value, to put honor on. To assign value and to put honor on. God doesn't say to honor your parents because they've been honorable. God says to assign honor, put honor on them. Now, last week I touched the fact that unfortunately, not everyone has had a wonderful mother experience or a wonderful dad experience. In fact, what we've come to realize is that our parents who procreated us in the image of a creator who created us, they are broken people. And broken people could come together and procreate, but broken people will still break the people they procreate. It's their own wounds, it's their own hurts, it's in their own inadequacies. Thank God some of us have had good parent figures, but that's not always the case, unfortunately. This is why God became flesh and came to earth. Humanity was wrecked. People are broken. And God came to break the power of the kingdom of darkness, to break the curse, and to reverse the curse and bring life and life more abundantly. How many of you here are recipients of that abundant life? Jesus has been making a difference in your life. So good to see you, Steve. Good on you, buddy. I haven't forgotten who you are. You gonna come say hello to me afterwards? Good man. I love it when people give their lives to Jesus. Steve is one of the men over the last 6-7 weeks. We've seen over 67 people come to Christ. And Steve is one of them. It's great to see him in church. Good on you. Give him a big round of applause. Honor is a big thing in the kingdom of God. God says to honor your parents. It's mentioned twice in the Old Testament and 6 times in the New Testament. In fact, Jesus said it 5 times. The Apostle Paul said it once in the book of Ephesians. And he went on and he said, he made a notation. He said, by the way, when you honor your mother and your father, that is the only commandment out of 10 commandments that is followed with a promise that God will bless you. Isn't it interesting that God took everything that is perfect, everything that is a great idea, brilliant concept, he took everything that is pure, narrowed it down to 10 rules to create a society of integrity, a society of justice, an environment of righteousness, a place of well-being. He broke everything down to 10 rules, and in the middle of it, commandment number 5, honor your father and your mother. And when you do, I will give you long life, and I will bless your life. Twice in the Old Testament, 6 times in the New Testament. Let me point something else out to you. This principle of honor, and in a moment I'll explain why it's so important, but this principle of honor isn't just tied up in the Ten Commandments. The Old Testament is what we call a time period where God was dealing with man. The word for that is dispensation. A dispensation is a time period. The Old Testament represents the dispensation of the law. The law can show us what was right, but it also showed us what was wrong in us. And man, under his own effort to try to fulfill the law, only found that he would fall short and he was a desperate failure, could never come up to God's standard. The dispensation we live in today, this time period, is called the year of God's favor. The prophets in the Old Testament said, in the year of God's favor, miracles are going to happen. That's what they said. They said, in the year of God's favor, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the lame will walk. When Jesus came in Luke chapter 4, he had just been tempted by the devil. He resisted the devil. He beat him at his game. He comes back to Nazareth, and he walks into the synagogue, and they give him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and Jesus starts reading about himself, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news. He's anointed me to set at liberty those that have been bruised and to proclaim the acceptable year of God's favor." The dispensation we live in right now, this is the dispensation of grace. This is the dispensation of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here in an invisible form, but it is here in power. It is here in authority. The government of this kingdom is here, and it is with us, and it is in us. That's why we can rise above the circumstances of life. How many of you have risen above the circumstances of life? Amen. We live in God's kingdom in a broken world, but we live in the kingdom of God under the authority of Jesus Christ. This dispensation is called the year of God's favor. It's called the dispensation of the kingdom of God. It's called the dispensation of salvation and grace. I want to show you something. Having explained all of that, I'm talking about honor. Honor your father and your mother. I just showed you, it's in the Ten Commandments. It's mentioned twice in the Old Testament, 6 times in the New Testament. It's the only commandment, 10 rules to make a fantastic world, and God sticks this. Honoring your mom and your dad in the middle. It's rule number 5, all right? But watch this. The very last book of the Old Testament, if you don't read the guy's name right, you'd think he was an Italian. When you look at it, it looks like Malachi. But in Hebrew, it's Malachi. Okay? I was hoping we finally had an Italian author in there. Malachi chapter 4. Chapter 4 is the last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament. And the last 2 verses of the last book of the last chapter speak about the next dispensation, which is the dispensation we're living in. And it says, the prophet says, he's talking on God's behalf, "I will send you the prophet Elijah. He will come to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes." Now we're going to stop. This is about as deep as I'm going to get as far as end time stuff. We're going to stop. The prophet Elijah is going to come before the dreadful day of the Lord comes. That's a third dispensation. We are living in the year of God's favor. A day is coming where God's wrath is going to come. We, the church, if you have asked Jesus Christ into your heart, the Bible says there's coming a point. God will show his grace. He will show his mercy. He will save people, give them the opportunity to be born again. But then a time is coming. The clock is ticking down. And God will rapture his church. We will be caught up in the air with him, okay? And then judgment will come on the earth. It's called the day of the Lord. It's a very short period. And God's going to deal with man's inhumanity to man. The day of the Lord. And so this prophet is saying, before the day of the Lord comes. So we had the dispensation of law. Now we have the year of God's favor. Malachi is standing at the end of the dispensation of law, and he's looking into the future. And he sees the next 2 dispensations. And he says, before the day of the Lord comes, that dispensation between now and then, God is going to send the prophet Elijah. Now watch what he says here. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Everyone look at me. Honor. Honor is such an important principle in the kingdom of God that God says either parents will get it right with their kids and kids will get it right with their parents. Either people will learn to respect and honor each other. Either people will learn to love one another, or I will come with judgment, and that judgment is called the dreadful day of the Lord. Honor is part of the culture of the kingdom of God. Honor, repeat it. Honor is the culture of the kingdom of God. Why is this so important? If you can't honor your father and your mother who procreated you, you will always have difficulty in honoring God who created you. I'm going to say that again. If you can't honor your father and your mother who procreated you, you will always have difficulty in honoring God who created you. Now look at me. Your parents are procreators. They were created in the image of God. They may be broken. They may have wounded you. God doesn't say, honor those who are honorable. We have a saying in the kingdom of men, we say, give honor where honor is due. And that sounds like a noble thing. Give honor where honor is due. How many of you would agree that that is a good thing? Give honor where honor is due, right? But the kingdom of God always goes one better. The kingdom of God is always higher in its value system than the kingdom of man. In the kingdom of man, we say, give honor where honor is due. God says, give honor even when they haven't deserved it. Assign honor. You see, if I only give honor where honor is due, then I will only act kind, graceful, loving, respectful to the people who haven't disappointed me yet. And the moment you disappoint me, I have a back door and I can react to you in a dishonorable way because you offended me, you hurt me, and you disappointed me. And that's how we live on the earth. We give honor as long as people are honoring us. But the moment someone hurts us, the moment someone rejects us, the moment someone disappoints us, we retract and we're ready to react. Is anybody in this room like me? Listen, somebody hurts me, the first thing I want to do, Dave, is I want to hurt them back. Either with my tongue or any way I can. That is the initial reaction. That's the initial reaction. Why do we react when people hurt us? What is it that hurts when people hurt us? You know, whether they talk bad about you and say things that are absolutely not true, or whether they reject you and say, you don't fit into my group, I don't want to be friends with you, or whether they steal from you or lie about you or do any other terrible thing, what happens is we get hurt, and the hurt is the result that we feel the honor being taken off of us. Honor's a God thing. And intuitively, we were created to be vessels and vehicles of honor. What is man that you crown them with glory and honor? Honor is part of the divine makeup that God put inside of us. And the reason why we feel hurt when you reject me, the reason why I feel hurt when you talk bad about me is because honor has been taken off of me and I feel naked and I feel injured. Hello? Turn to somebody and say, that's a good point. The kingdom of darkness is always taking honor away. The kingdom of God is always bringing honor, even where honor isn't due. Yeah. You see, in the language of God, in the Old Testament, there's a dude called Gideon. Gideon, the name actually means a tree fella, a guy who cuts down trees. Well, Gideon was very afraid because his people were constantly being invaded by a nomadic tribe of people. The Bible says that they were like swarms of locusts. And so Gideon and his people would plant their crops, and they lived in a particular area, but this nomadic people just went from one tribe's harvest field to another to another. They were like locusts. They didn't care whose backyard they went to. If they had a crop, they were going to eat it. They were numerous. They were fierce. They were not honorable people. And so Gideon and the people of Israel, that particular tribe, were lived in constant fear. And the Bible says that when it was harvest time for the wheat, he'd take some bunches of wheat and he'd go hide out in a wine press, round walls all around him. And here, hidden in the wine press, he'd thresh the wheat so he could make a little bit of flour so that they could have a little bit of bread. God shows up and he says, Gideon, you're a great man of valor and courage. Everyone look at me. The circumstances of life had depressed Gideon's economy and his fellow brethren. It had taken away their self-esteem. It had robbed them of their confidence and of their sense of statehood. Here these people were bankrupt morally and emotionally and financially. He's hiding in a wine press, and God shows up and he starts speaking the language of honor. You see, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He will take honor off of you. He will rob you of dignity. He will take away your self-respect. He will take away your emotional well-being. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is the culture of the kingdom of darkness. He will always take honor off of humanity and leave us a broken heap of rubble. But God will always come and put honor back. And so he comes into the wine press and he sees Gideon hiding. And we can make a lot of jokes about Gideon. He is a grown man, cowering and afraid. But God, the God of dignity, the God of honor, the God of respect, the God of love, the God who comes to restore the broken man that's on the inside. God steps into the wine press with Gideon. He didn't talk to him from a million miles away. He stepped into his circumstances. He stepped into his situation. And he says, Gideon, you're a man of courage and you're a man of value. You see, God was calling Gideon something he wasn't in the natural, but God was putting honor back onto Gideon. Do you know that when you give honor, it heals? Amen. When you give respect, it heals. You see, last week when I was preaching, I talked about the word behold. Jesus said, John, behold your mother. And the word behold in English, the synonyms of behold means decode that person. Look past who they are on the outside. Decipher them. Go beyond their brokenness and understand who they are, and that they are who they are because of the hurts and the disappointments of life, and then assign honor to them even though they're not acting in an honorable way. You see, the kingdom of God will always lift man up. The kingdom of darkness will always bring humanity down. Jesus Christ came not to condemn the world, but to save each and every one of us. Come on, somebody get happy. Somebody get excited. God is for you. He is for us. He is with us. And he is in us when we let Jesus Christ come into our heart. God speaks the language of honor. And that's why he prophesied through Malachi. And he says, before the day, the appointed day of judgment, during the year of my favor, I want people to start reconciling. I want parents to start being merciful to their kids and kids to be respectful of their parents. And if there isn't this honor that heals and restores, I'm coming back and I'm going to strike the earth with a curse. Honor is the culture of the kingdom of God. Turn to somebody and say, honor is the culture of the kingdom of God. Amazing that God gives Moses 10 laws to create a balanced, stable, civilized nation. And in the middle of that, he gives a law about honoring your mother and your father. I find it absolutely amazing. When you build a culture of honor, you are building the culture of the kingdom of God around your life. When you build a culture of honor, you are building the culture of the kingdom of God around your life. When you build a culture of dishonor, you're building the culture of the kingdom of demons around your life. If we only honor the people who have been honorable, it'll be a short list. And if you've lived the life I've lived, that short list has a way of getting shorter and shorter. Because every day, someone will do something, either on purpose or by accident, that hurt us, offend us, and cause us to feel rejected. If we respond the way the kingdom of darkness wants us to respond, we will return dishonor for the dishonor that was given to us. Dishonor never heals. Dishonor never restores. What dishonor does is it multiplies the offense, and the only thing you can get from dishonor is more dishonor and more dishonor on top of each other. But how do you reverse the curse? By doing the opposite of the curse. And that's why God says, give honor, assign honor. I'm not asking you to honor people because they're honorable. I'm asking you to see beyond their brokenness. See beyond what wrecked them. See and understand why they're hurt. Look beyond that and then honor them. Give them honor the way I've given you honor. There isn't one of us in this room that have ever earned the honor that God has given us. Heck, I don't know if you think about it, but the Bible says, I have been made a co-heir together with Jesus Christ. You have been made a co-heir together with Jesus Christ. You are seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father in the same seat Jesus is sitting in. Listen, unless you're something like the earth has never seen before, you don't deserve to be there. I don't deserve to be there. But God gives honor even where we weren't honorable. Isn't that the truth? Yeah, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, if anyone asks Jesus in their heart, if they're born again, they're a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. Now, we all love to sing songs about the fact I'm a new creation. I'm not the old person. I'm a new person in Jesus Christ. But Paul goes on to say, therefore, We will not see our brothers and sisters as who they are in the flesh. We will see them as who they are in Christ. Wow. God's saying, now, what I did with you, I don't look at you through the eyes of your reality. I look at you through the eyes of my mercy and my grace. I look at you through the eyes of the destiny that I have for you. And even before you reach your destiny, even before you start growing into what I want you to be, I'm going to talk to you as if you're already there. Because honor restores and honor exalts and honor establishes. Honor is the culture of the kingdom of heaven. And dishonor, anything I could do to hurt you, that hurt that you experienced, no matter what tool of evil that I used, whether it's lying about you to Betsy, okay, whether it's stealing from you, whether it's disrespecting you, anything that I do that will hurt you is a mode or a method of taking honor away from you. And it hurts because God created you to be crowned with glory and honor. Amen. This is a divine thing, folks. Honor is a God thing. And when honor's taken away from us, we smart, we hurt, we're broken, we're injured. But the kingdom of darkness says, not only am I going to make you broken, now I'm going to use you to inflict dishonor on other people. And as they're dishonored, they're going to dishonor you back. And then you're going to get even and you're going to hate them more. And the kingdom of darkness perpetrates and multiplies the curse of hurt and the curse of dishonor. But when we give honor, when God gives honor, he heals us, he restores us, he reestablishes us, he exalts us. Listen, do you know why I love him so much? Because he doesn't treat me the way I deserve to be treated. He treats me better than what I deserve. What does that mean? He doesn't treat me according to the value of what I've done. He treats me according to the value he has assigned to me. Wow. To give honor is to assign value. If you wait to give honor to people when they're honorable, you'll be waiting a long time. And in the meantime, the world will get worse and worse and worse. But when we give honor like God gives, we assign it. By choice, we choose to honor, we choose to respect, we choose to love, we choose to show mercy. Last week, I talked about the fact that when we behold people, we decode them. Why are they acting like this? Man, they got a crappy attitude. Man, they have been nasty to me. When we discern them, when we decode them, when we decipher them, when we realize that they've been hurt as much as we are and they're still reacting out of those hurts, then we start to show mercy because we start to understand without God's grace, I was the same, right? And the mercy we show them is the mercy that heals our wounds. And when we show honor to someone else, it is a merciful act. And that mercy of God's culture starts to heal them. The best thing you could do to an honorary and grumpy person is to give honor. Mm-hmm. Let kindness be the thing that is given back in response to their anger, their pettiness, their smallness. It's what God does with you and me every day of the week. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to say it again. When you build a culture of honor, you're building the culture of God's kingdom around your life. But when you build a culture of dishonor, I'm going to get even. She said this about me. Well, I want you to know she's a so-and-so and a this and a that. And as we pull them down, we are taking honor off of them. And God says, I want you to put honor that isn't there. The reason why they're so messed up is because they don't have honor. And I want you to put my honor on them. Because as you show mercy and put my honor on them, they will start to heal on the inside. Isn't the kingdom of God so opposite to the kingdom of the world? Absolutely. Everything in God's kingdom is opposite to the kingdom of darkness. The only way to reverse the curse is to do the opposite of the curse. And that's why the Bible is so full of giving honor. That's why the Bible says, honor those in government. Look at me. You live in the same America as me. I don't care if you're on the left or on the right. You're going to think this side is decrepit, and this side's going to think that side's decrepit. And the truth of it is that we're all decrepit. The answer isn't in the White House. The answer is in the house of God. God is looking for you and me. We are the church. Get it out of your head. We don't just go to church. We are the church. And God is waiting for you as individuals, me included, to translate the word of God through our lifestyle. Because we are the only vehicle that can change the heart of America. Political policies will not change the heart of America. Now, there are some political policies I'd like to see changed. I have very strong opinions, and I try to base them on the Word of God. But at the end of the day, the heart of America is people. And nothing will transform people politically. You will not change a man's heart. The only thing that can change a man's heart is the Spirit of God. And you and I have access to the greatest power in the universe. And the devil has got us so mixed up that all we do is go to church when it's convenient, rather than realize we are the church, we are the answer. We, when we live according to the principles of God's word, we are the transmission of God's healing power into a broken civilization. Somebody give me an amen. When you live like the world, you'll get what the world gives. But when you live out of the kingdom of God, you advance the kingdom, and the kingdom of darkness loses ground and loses territory. Somebody say, good preaching, Pastor Ron. If I were to turn to the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 to 17, every one of those commandments is about either honoring God, honoring yourself, or honoring your neighbor. Every commandment is about honor. Honor is an issue of divine order. When we assign honor, we are allowing divine order to work in our lives. The first commandment, you will have no other gods before me. Honor God. Church, everyone, look at me. Anything that has a priority in your life over God has already taken honor away from God. And you've given a greater value, you have assigned a greater value to something else. And God says, you will have no other gods before me. What is he saying? Assign the highest value to me. Amen. That's what God says. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow to them or worship them. Here's the issue. When we worship nature, Mother Nature, when we worship animal life and plant life and ecology, more than we worship the Creator, we have disrespected the image of God, and we have disrespected ourselves because we are created in the image of God. We live in a culture today where we will honor the unborn eggs of a turtle, and so we should, but we honor them more than the fertilized eggs of a human being. We will honor the ecology. We will honor the earth. And so we should. The Bible says we should protect the earth, but we honor it more than we'll honor a fellow man of another culture and another color. We are making gods of things that are not gods, and we take the honor away from God and we assign it to something else. And when we do, we disrespect him and we disrespect ourselves, and we are breaking divine order and we are ushering in demonic disorder. Amen. Third commandment, don't misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Honor, respect his name, respect who he is. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you'll labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It amazes me. You know, years ago, and I'm dating myself, many years ago, a long, long time ago, businesses weren't even open on a Sunday. The Sabbath was God's day. Oh, yeah. Like Cassandra, some of you are too young. You got to hang out with vintage items, museum articles like me. We'll give you history. We got plenty of it. But, yeah, we had a culture where businesses were closed on a Sunday. Why? Because we understood, we assigned value to God, and we said 6 days are ours, 1 day is his. Now, people will miss church. And look, if you think I'm having a shot at you, you got it. We make church such an iffy thing, and it's wrong. I'm going to just say it, it's wrong. My kids' football game, my kids' basketball game, my kids' education, my kids' this. You know, it takes, Pastor Carlos has these statistics. I can't remember how many gallons of water to baptize one person, but it only takes one drop of rain to keep us from church. Yeah. How much honor do you give God? How much value do you assign to him? You see, me preaching, listen, you might think, oh, wow, what a charismatic job he has. He's in the limelight. Heck, you should see me Saturday night sweating before God, because this isn't my pulpit and this isn't my platform. And I'm not here to tell my story. I'm here to say exactly what he wants. And so there is a responsibility. Others might not treat it like that. I do. There's a responsibility on my shoulders to say what's on God's heart. And so I had to decide a long time ago, either I try to be the popular preacher or I try to be the honest preacher. And I decided to be the honest preacher more than the popular preacher. Because it's only the truth that'll set you free. On the internet, you'll have overnight sensations. People who have no accountability, they've given no respect to authorities above them, Overnight, they become superstars and bishops and apostles, and there is no accountability in their lives. And we are celebrity conscious, and we want to run after the latest fad, the latest thing, the latest wonder on YouTube, and we don't recognize, even in the house of God, there's honor. There's a woman here who spent most of her life in intercession. Her marriage was on the rocks, and she learned God and learned intercession by fighting for a husband who was an alcoholic and a player. And she broke through all of that and spent years in intercession. There are years of ministry there, but not dressed in the most modern, trendy clothes. She's not a young chick. She's not hip. She's not got her own station on YouTube. And so we pass over years of experience to run after people who are still only that deep in the Lord. We have an honor, we have a society and a system that doesn't give honor where it should. And we need to understand that being older doesn't mean you're about to be phased out. Being older means you carry greater honor in the kingdom of God. Amen. That's the truth. I have years of experience preaching. I've been preaching for 50 years. I know, I just really dated myself. I've been preaching for 50 years. I've seen, in five separate occasions, I've seen the dead come back to life. I've seen miracles galore. But I don't have a YouTube platform. I don't run around telling everyone I'm an apostle. I function in that capacity. But I don't go flashing my credentials. But because we live in an honorless society, we are Americans by nature, and we are celebrity conscious. And whatever the latest fad is, we run there and we pay homage to people who haven't gone through a chain of command and earned the right and aren't accountable. They won't be accountable to anyone else, but they like it when your credit card is accountable to them. Listen to me. You have a church filled with pastors. Pastor Tom has paid his dues long before he ever came to Grace and Faith. You have a ministry team here. There are fathers and mothers in the faith. And please forgive me if for a moment I sound like Paul when Paul said, I'm out of my mind for talking like this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Well, I'm going to take a leaf out of Paul's writings. What some of the Johnny-come-latelys know, they don't know as much as what we've already forgotten. We need to give honor, not to the shiniest, brightest, newest thing. We need to give honor to the trees whose roots have been in the ground for 100 years. Yes. Are you hearing me, church? Yes. I'm just telling you the truth. I see the culture of the kingdom of darkness. I was in a movement in Australia, and as soon as the presidents would be voted out, they would push them out of the paddock, and they had no more say-so in the movement, and they started to just honor the young guys coming up. I was one of the young guys. I was at an international meeting of leaders of the movement, and I spoke into the movement. I said, listen, guys, you got a problem here. I was part of the movement. I knew I was signing my exit, okay? But I spoke the truth. I said, guys, you got a problem here. It's one thing to keep raising up the young guys and only the young guys, of which I am one. But when we take these older generals and just put them out to field like a horse that's good for nothing anymore, and we don't give them a say-so into the growing movement that we have, we are dishonoring our fathers, and the blessing of longevity and the blessing of God's hand will not be on us. we might want the youth, and it's important to pass the baton on to the next generation, but don't forsake your forefathers in the Lord. Don't underestimate the value and the integrity and the stability that comes in these old oaks of righteousness that have been standing for a long time. Honor is the culture of the kingdom of God. Dishonor is the culture of the kingdom of darkness. God says, give honor even where they haven't earned it. The kingdom of darkness says, you've been dishonored, they hurt you, get them back. Do the same. Don't pay any attention to them. Dishonor gives birth to disgrace. Repeat that. Dishonor gives birth to disgrace. But honor will give birth to restoration. The culture of the kingdom of God is honor. The culture of the kingdom of darkness is dishonor. So I'm going to ask you, what culture are you listening to? What culture is influencing you? America? America needs to be saved. And it's not this party or that party that's going to save America. It's this party right here. The heart of America needs to be turned, and the heart of America is people. Politics won't change the heart of a man. But the Spirit of God will. And you and I have got to stop looking to alternative sources of power and realize we have the greatest power. You know why the kingdom of darkness doesn't cower to the church? It's because the church is still trying to lobby which party should be in the White House. I'm not saying don't vote. Vote. It is your responsibility. But vote according to kingdom principles. But then put it aside and get on your knees and call on the God of heaven, because that vote will bring more power and more reformation and more restoration than anything else. God could do in one national revival what it would take 10, 20 presidents to do. God knows how to press the reset button. Come on. Come on, church. Come on. Absolutely. Now listen. We're the answer, but not if I live according to the culture of the kingdom of darkness. Every one of us here, the message to you is that we have to change the culture of how we have lived. It's not tit for tat. I'm not going to get even. I'm not going to hate people who reject me. We have to show honor, give honor where honor isn't due. We assign honor. Listen, when you assign honor to people who have abused you, but yet you will love them and respect them, the mercy you show them is the mercy that will heal you and keep you whole. That's the truth. Would you stand with me? Whose culture are you listening to? I love my parents. I love my heritage as an Italian. But there are things in the culture of my family that didn't line up with God's word. And without disrespecting my parents, I honored the culture of God's word. Without disrespecting my heritage, I say no to the things that don't line up with God's word. And I honor, I submit to, I accept, I embrace the culture of God's word. Listen, don't get offended at me. Hear me. We'll only be happy. We got an attitude right now where we'll only be happy if things are made up to me. No, That's saying I'm not going to show honor until I've been honored back. And I've been paid back. No, we got to do it the kingdom way. The kingdom of God way. Because if we do it the way of the kingdom of darkness, dishonor will breed more dishonor. Resentment will breed more resentment. Hurt will breed more hurt. But love, respect, and honor. Giving it where a person hasn't earned it. That's what melts a hard heart. And the Spirit of God can only work in that culture and in that environment. But if we respond like everybody else, the only spirit that can work in that culture is the spirit of a demon. What culture are you building? We must build the culture of honor. Every eye closed. The first thing every one of us needs to do is to give God the honor of letting him be number one in our lives. As Christians and as agnostics or atheists. The best way to bring divine order into your life is by getting God back on his throne. If you have never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, you're here today, but you've never said, hey, Jesus, I don't just want to know about you. I want a relationship with you. I open my heart. Come, live inside me. Listen, God wants to honor you. You don't have to earn it. That's the beautiful thing about being born again. I don't have to wait till I'm good enough for God to accept me. He accepts me. And I don't have to wait till I'm good enough to earn his kindness or his blessings. He gives honor even though honor isn't warranted. If you have never asked Jesus in your heart, and today you feel the Spirit of God tugging on you, come on, I want you to respond honestly by raising your hand and say, I want to do that. I want to ask Jesus Christ into my heart today. Right across this auditorium, if that's you. If you've never done that, come on, raise your hand. While every eye is closed, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to come to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. If you're watching by live stream, right now, wherever you are, say yes to Jesus and allow God's divine order to come into your life. He will start to change things and make things whole. He will heal things in you. Everyone look at me, to the church. I'm glad you come to church. Make the assembly of God's house a priority. I understand there are occasions. I get it. But honestly, we treat coming to church very flippantly. We do. I didn't promise to be popular. I promised to be honest. And we need to make the things of God a priority. We need to set an example for our children. We need to set an example in the community. Assembling together like this, we come to let the Word of God wash us. Paul says, be cleansed by the washing of the Word. You know what happened today? God's Word is washing away all the garbage you've been hearing in the world all week. And we need to let God's Word wash us. Heck, I shower once to twice a day. I do. I want to smell good. But let me tell you something. Nothing will stink more than the attitude that's rotten in the heart. And I need the Word of God to wash me on a regular basis. Can I get an agreement? Amen. So I encourage you. How many of you feel like this Word spoke to you today? Anybody? Before you go, look around. Look around. Have a good look around. You're going to see every color here. You're going to see every culture here. Get used to it. Get used to us. When we were created in the image of God, it's not white. It's not black. It's not brown. When we were created in the image of God, we were made spirit, soul, and body. God is a triune being. Animals are just a body and a soul. Man is a spirit, a soul, and a body. And we were created in God's image, spirit, soul, and body. It doesn't matter what color. It doesn't matter what nationality. Get used to this and let's start showing honor, assign honor. I don't care the color. I don't care the culture. I don't care what your mother taught you. I don't care what your father taught you. If they taught you contrary to this, it is not from the kingdom of God. It is from the kingdom of darkness. And if we're always going to be suspicious of people of different color, suspicious of the white man because the white man is suspicious of the black man, suspicious of the brown man, all we're doing is building a culture of demons. And demons will work in that culture. But when we build a culture of honoring and preferring and loving one another and submitting to each other, that's a culture demons hate. But it's a culture that the Holy Spirit loves. And we, the church, must be the first to build the culture of the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen? All right. All right. Praise God. Turn around and hug someone. Give them a high five. Church, I look forward to being with you again next Sunday. God bless you. If you're here for the first time, if I could have your attention one more moment. If you're a first-time visitor, I would love to meet you in the meet and greet room next door. We have coffee. We have tea. I had half a dozen people meet me in the first service. So if you are here, if you see a new person, why don't you bring them over to the meet and greet? God bless you.